Well, welcome. I'm so glad to see you today, and I want to welcome you to this service. We want to welcome those who are worshiping with us online as well. Now, this is Palm Sunday, and I'm glad you came. You saw the children, and they came with the palm branches. Wasn't that great? And didn't the band do a great job today? Yeah. I worked with them all week, and they did it was just the way we practiced, Trevor. It was perfect. Yeah, I loved it. And listen, we've been talking about God is during the season of Lent. Last week, we talked about the holiness of God. I got a lot of comments on that sermon. People said they learned some things they didn't really know about. So if you didn't get a chance to hear it, try to go back and watch it. Once it goes online, you can always go back and pick it up. Today, we're going to talk about an unchanging God. God is unchanging. Our family, one time when I was growing up, we took a test. It was a psychological profile. And I can see what you're thinking. Oh, we can't wait to hear what you were. But here's the thing. My dad is an accountant and my brother is an accountant. And you know what their greatest fear is? What's an accountant's greatest fear? No, it's not tax season. It's change. Change. They do not like change. I'm not talking about money change. I'm talking about they like a pattern. They have routine. They do the same thing. And I took the test. What was my greatest fear? No change. I like change. I like things to change. And so in my ministry, things are different every day, and that's great, and I love it. How many of you like change? Okay, the only people who really like change are the babies with a wet diaper. That's really what happens. Hey, how much did you pay to get in here? Really? I mean, hey. All right, so it was time for Jesus to travel from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he was going to make his unmistakable claim to be the Messiah. He entered the gates of Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and people flocked to him. As he passed by, they laid down their garments on the roadway. They took palm branches. They cut them. They laid them down as well as he rode through. What they were saying is, "You are our King. You are our Messiah. We will follow you. We believe in you. And so we're going to follow your lead." Now, there's a place in Luke where what happened was when he was riding in, some people said, "We shouldn't praise Jesus. We should only praise God," because they didn't understand who Jesus was. And so it's wrong for us to praise Jesus. We should just praise God. And he said, "If they are silent, the very stones will cry out," because he has to be worshiped. So today, the stones aren't going to have to cry out, are they? Because we're going to worship him. We're going to praise him. We're going to celebrate him. And so he rides into the city there in Jerusalem. And they sang, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus was the hero of the parade. He was their leader. And they promised that they would follow him. But just 5 days later, they would crucify their king. Just 5 days later, they would kill their Messiah. Just 5 days later, they would forget their Palm Sunday promises, and they would throw away their worthless commitments out the window. And many people still make Palm Sunday promises today. People make a decision to follow Christ, but it's superficial. And after not too long, they quit, they give up, they go back to their old way of doing things. Now, I want you to picture yourself as a person in the Bible. You're a character living during the time that Jesus is riding into the city of Jerusalem, and you're celebrating the fact that he's the Messiah. But then just 5 days later, maybe you're a part of the crowd who shouts, "Crucify, crucify." And then he is crucified and he dies, but then he's resurrected and he comes back to earth and he's alive again and before he goes to heaven. And so maybe you have regrets. Maybe you look at him and you go, "Maybe he really is who he said he was. And maybe I made the wrong choice and I made the wrong decision." And they failed him. They failed him. The same ones who praised him crucified him. And if it hadn't been them, it would have been us, because we sin. And when we sin, it's like our crucifixion of Jesus as well, isn't it? So here's what I want you to hear. These people failed. You and I fail him too. But God never fails. Aren't you glad that God's promises aren't based on us keeping our promises? But he's consistent. He loves us. He forgives us. Even when we're not perfect, he is. And he has a way for us. He makes a way for us to stay in relationship with him. They failed. We failed. And today I want to talk about this guy in Psalm 102 because he was really struggling himself. We don't know who wrote Psalm 102. We're not exactly sure. Some theologians think it was David, and maybe he wrote it during the time that his son Absalom was so involved in rebellion. And it was a difficult time for David. Some people think maybe it was a prophet, and this prophet was really going through a hard season of life. So we don't really know for sure who wrote it, but bad things were going on. And this guy, whoever it is, he cries out to God and he says, "Hear my prayer, Lord. Let me cry for help, come to you." And so he's asking for God to bring him help. Do you ever feel like crying out to God? He says this. He says, "Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food." Now, this guy's in distress, isn't he? He's hopeless. He can't eat. He can't sleep. He is spiritually and relationally isolated. And I'm no expert, but it sounds to me like that the writer of this psalm is in clinical depression. Do you hear that in his voice? He's really struggling. His world is unsettled. There is nothing he can count on. Everything is changing faster than he can keep up with. And it's much like our world today, isn't it? It's an uncontrollable pace. The rules change. The policies change. Things you used to be able to say, you can't say anymore. They're inappropriate. Government leaders change. They come and go. The gas prices have changed just since I started preaching this sermon this morning. The weather changes. We had a little cool snap last night. People came into church and said, "Man, it's cold out there." And then the people from Minnesota just laughed out loud at us when we talked about that. And so your finances are not enough, and people have let you down, and the world news just discourages you, and you wonder if the world can keep going. When everything around you changes, I want you to know that God never changes. Amen? Isn't that good to know? The psalmist feels like a lot of us feel today, and so things are anxious and unsettled. You know, I go to Publix every morning to buy newspaper. Did you know this? Some of you know this. I go, because I have another congregation at Publix. Please don't be jealous. But I have another congregation there, and these people are very faithful. They're always there when I go, and they can't leave. They're a captive audience. They have to talk to me when I go there. And you know, recently something happened. I went into Publix, and I went in to buy my newspapers as God intended, and you cannot buy newspapers in Bay County. You cannot buy newspaper. And if you go and talk to them at the information desk, they're young adults. And you say, "What happened to the newspapers?" And they just stare at you as if you've asked them some kind of question that has to do with chemistry. They're just not quite sure exactly what it is you're talking about. Look, you had newspapers. They were over here on this rack. You had to put them out every day. If you didn't put them out, sometimes you left them in the plastic. I put them out for you because that's the kind of guy I am. They're not here. They said, we don't know what you're talking about. So I had to go to the doctor in Pensacola not long ago. And I drove and I stopped in Navarre, Florida. It's kind of centrally located. I used to live there. And I went into Publix. Guess what? They've got newspapers. I went in. I bought a Fort Walton Beach paper. I bought a Pensacola paper. I bought a USA Today. I bought a Navarre paper. Four papers in Publix. We can't get one. We can't get the local paper here anymore because USA Today bought them out. They had just had Hurricane Michael. They just restored their new building at the paper place over on the 11th Street. And then they sold out to USA Today. There's a vacant building. It's beautiful. It's over on 11th Street. There's nothing there except one lawyer who rented a little space up front because so many people are suing them because there's no newspaper anymore there. Okay? So I bought all the newspapers. So I'm not happy about this. I'm struggling with it. So I called the governor. And I said, look, forget about all that other stuff. I've got something important to talk about. Set aside your calendar. We've got to get newspapers in Bay County. You can get them everywhere else in Florida. You can't buy them. You can buy a local paper on Wednesday. You can buy a local paper on Saturday, and it's for Saturday or Sunday. Used to, they didn't even have one on Saturday. But you can't buy USA Today. Why is that? These other people have it. Why can't you buy it here? And so he was not available. They said he was tied up. He had other matters to take care of. And I said, that's okay, because he's coming to Panama City Beach. He's friends with Jimmy Patronus. He goes to Captain Anderson's to eat. I'm going to get him in a headlock, and I'm going to talk to him about the paper problem we have in Bay County. You laugh at me, but let me tell you something. I went to Washington, D.C. one time. I was in the airport at Dulles Airport. I saw Truett Cathy, the guy who started Chick-fil-A. He was there with his preacher and their wives. He was there to accept the Horatio Alger Award. He had done that. He was flying out. I walked up to him. Mr. Cathy, I'm Joe Lay. I'm a minister. I live in Navarre, Florida. We don't have a Chick-fil-A in Navarre. What are you going to do about that? He started talking to me. We talked about that. He tried to change the subject. He went on to some other things. I said, that's wonderful, Mr. Cathy. Let's talk about the Chick-fil-A in Navarre. That's what I want to talk about. He started laughing at me. He said, well, if I open one, will you run it for me? I said, Mr. Cathy, I'm a minister. I can't do that. They won't let me have another job. He said, well, I think we have a ministry at Chick-fil-A. We're closed on Sunday. We teach young people the model for Christianity. We have the principles. We have a business. He just preached me a sermon right there. I said, that was a good sermon. Now, what are we going to do about the Chick-fil-A in Navarre? So I said, you get your people on it. Get them down there. I promise you, that thing's changing. You can make some money. I'm trying to help you out. He said, I appreciate that. You know, it wasn't too long after that. I'm not kidding. I went through Gulf Breeze, Florida, and they took what used to be a different restaurant, and they made a Chick-fil-A there in Gulf Breeze, Florida. They catch the people from Pensacola going out to the beach. It's right there. So the next time you're in Gulf Breeze, you stop at Chick-fil-A, and you sit there, and you have yourself a sandwich, and you bow your head and say your blessing and thank God that I was there for you, because I'm taking credit for the Chick-fil-A in Gulf Breeze. Now, here's the point. Things are unsettled. Things are changing. You can't pay your bills. Can I ever afford a house? Young people today, they don't know if they can do that. Your children, there are problems. Your marriage, you don't have hope. This guy was in that kind of a place, and he cries out to God, and he's saying, are you even listening to my prayer? And then he declares this: in the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And then he goes on and he says, they will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Now, we serve a God who is constant. Aren't you thankful that God is constant? Even when things in the world change all the time, we're grateful for a constant God. And that applies to our lives. And if you look at Malachi, it says this: I, the Lord, do not change. You can count on God. His promises are there. He'll always be there for you. In Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what does that mean to us? Well, it means that there was never a time when God was not God. There will never be a time when God ceases to be God. He is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He has been, he is, will always be. He is holy and perfect without blemish. Last week we learned that he is holy, 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 right? And there is no other like him. He says, I am the Lord and I do not change. And God is indeed responding to our prayers. He loves us so much and he wants to answer our prayers, but he will never give us something outside of his will. You say, I prayed to God. He didn't give me what I wanted. It's because it was outside his will. Or it was because it was not the right time. We prayed to buy a house for retirement. We said, we know Jesus wants to buy one, wants us to buy one, but we had four fall through. We said, just not right now. We waited 1 year, and then one came available. We bought it. It worked out, okay? So there's a time for everything, and he knows that. And there's a purpose of prayer. Now listen to me. The purpose of prayer is not just to get what you want. I hate to disappoint you, but that's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to do our will. We don't go to God and say, God, this all worked out. Here's the plan. Now you know what it is. God, you make it happen. Us to know him and to need him. I love having kids, and we love taking care of our kids and helping them, especially when they were little. We could take care of them and buy them things because we love them and bless them. And so when they would ask, we could provide for them. And now we have a granddaughter. Have I mentioned her before? This past week, we happened to go to Birmingham because Laura is a teacher. She was out for spring break. So we get in the car. We just drive to Birmingham. We just float up there. It takes no time because we're going to see Collins. She's 7 years old. We spent the week there. She came to us. Buddy, honey, she said, I'm Buddy, Laura's honey. Buddy, honey, I want to spend the night with you Wednesday night. I've already talked to my teacher. I'm going to take off on Thursday. We said, great. She has a room at our house. She knows where it is. It's all set up for her. Everything's in place. Sometimes she comes over. She said, Buddy, honey, someone has been playing with my Barbies in my room. Taking inventory in there, making sure nobody shows up in there, okay? And so we had a great time. She said, today, I want to go shopping. I want to go shopping. Buddy, honey, let's go. I said, where are we going? She said, I want to go to the mall. I said, what stores do you want to go to? Because different places have different things. Where does a 7-year-old girl want to go shopping? Come on, tell me, you know. Claire's. That's right. Claire's. That's where they go because they have things at Claire's that 7-year-old children want. Female children. Go. I saw them in there. They're in there and they have to have those things. They're important things. I sat in there while honey walked around the store 25 times helping her pick out what she was going to get. And then we finally got through at Claire's and she said, now I want to go to Old Navy. And so we went to Old Navy and I sat down in the food court because I spoke to someone this morning at the 9 o'clock service. And I said, how are you? And she said, I'm old and I'm tired and slow. That's what I am. And I said, I must have something in common with you. I sat down in the food court and I waited for her to come out of Old Navy. She saw the Easter bunny. We went and had our picture made with the Easter bunny and Collins did too. We went and took care of that while we were there. And then she saw the merry-go-round and she got on the merry-go-round and she rode it. She said, that was so much fun. I'm going to do it again. I said, knock yourself out. She did it again. And then she looked at me and she said, buddy, I want you to ride the merry-go-round with me. So if you watch the local news, Buddy was on the merry-go-round. I'm sure you heard about it. I'm famous now in the Galleria Mall in Birmingham. There you go. All right, but here's the point. We then took her to the pond, the lake, and she said, I want to feed the ducks. And we fed the ducks and the geese. We had a wonderful time. We fed the fish. We checked everything out. We saw the turtles. We didn't miss anything. We had the best day. And then her parents came over and we had dinner together. It was wonderful. And she's going to remember that. She's going to remember that. We're going to remember that. What a blessing it is. It's a blessing to take care of our kids. We know God's like that. God loves us, but he doesn't have any grandchildren. All he's got is children. And he loves all of his children. And he's really interested in our little needs, our little things that we talk about, the things that are trivial, the things that are not that big a deal. He cares about the details of our lives. And he says, you know what? Let's spend the day together. I'm always available. Let's just, you and me, let's just spend the day together. And he wants to do that all the time. Now, prayer is something that makes our lives so much better because God loves us and he wants us to have a relationship with us. And I want you to catch this. Prayer reminds us that we're not in control, and it keeps us close to the one who is in control, because he is in control. He's in charge, and we want to know his will. We serve a God who is good, who does not change. And we have issues, right? And maybe you've got a teenager at home, and that's keeping you on your knees in prayer a lot right now. Maybe you're worried about the economy. Maybe you're dealing with a lot of financial stress. Maybe your credit cards are maxed out. Maybe you see the inflation climbing, and you wonder what's going to happen. And so you wonder. But here's the spoiler alert. Our bodies are aging. I told you, she said, I'm old and I'm slow. That's the way you feel. And there's this thing called gravity. And gravity has an effect on people. And the longer they're on the earth, the more it pulls them down, okay? And you can do all the right diets, and you can take care and take vitamins, and you can exercise, but I'm just telling you, it's coming. The sag, if it's not there already, it's coming. Something to look forward to on Palm Sunday, okay? And so, you know, it's not going to change, right? Some of you are way too young to know what I'm talking about, but one day you will find yourself looking for big font because you can't see anything anymore. Or maybe you realize that you've got to take a bathroom break in the middle of the movie because you can't sit through the whole thing anymore. Well, what are you going to do in a world that's constantly changing? Well, what can you count on? The only thing you can count on is a God who never changes, okay? Now, what I want you to see is God's word never changes. His word never changes. His word is living, it's active, it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It never returns void. God's word never changes. The scripture says the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. In Matthew, it says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. What do we know about living the word of God? We know that the word of God is fixed, it is enduring, it's lasting, it's true, it's irrevocable, it's indestructible. We know that it's not just the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the year. It is the book of the ages. It is the word of God. The word of God is powerful. It gives you hope. It is living. It will change you. It transforms you and gives you a future. The word of God never changes. Then second, God's character never changes. God does not have to study to be wise. He is wisdom. He didn't have to receive love to give love. He is love. He didn't have to see mercy to show mercy. The Bible says his mercy is everlasting. God's character never changes. He's always the same. He'll never forsake you. And that's why Paul asked this question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is always good. There's no way that he cannot be good. God is always loving. There's no way he cannot be loving. He is holy. He is just. He is righteous. He is patient. He is full of compassion. And that's why he says, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. He's always God. He's always good. So when you're worried about someone you're trying to reach, someone you want to help, what do you do? You have a problem with your child. Your marriage is struggling. There's no hope. You're under ongoing financial stress. When you look at the global events, you worry that your children are going to grow up in this world, and what's it going to be like? You remember that God's word never changes, that his character never changes, that he'll always be there. And then third, God's promises never change. How many of you have had somebody break a promise? They made a promise to you. They didn't keep it. Anybody? You people live a sheltered life. I'm amazed that you don't have any experiences at all, do you? Do you do anything during the week? Are you just at home alone and then you come here once on Sunday and that's it? Because I go, how many of you? And you go, you're just nothing. I get nothing. That's the kind of feedback I get. The people at Publix are nicer to me than this. They talk back to me, okay? Well, when you think somebody's going to have integrity and they don't, when you think somebody's telling the truth and they lie to you, when somebody says they're always going to stand by you, but then they don't stand by you, it's devastating. And what do we learn? People are fickle. They're fickle, aren't they? They're just like the waves out there tossing to and fro. But God is always faithful. He's always the same. He's never going to be fickle. Let me ask you, well, this is another one of those, do you ever have experiences? I want to prepare you for this so you can process this and answer me, okay? Has anybody in the room ever gotten a gift card before? Well, thank God. I thought I was going to have to wake you up and buy you a gift card before I could go on. Okay, so you get a gift card and people say, I don't like to get gift cards because they're not personal. I don't want to give that. I'm not one of those people. You can give me a gift card. I can get what I want. Let me tell you, I take advantage of those things. Now, here's what I want you to know, though. I read online that there's $15.5 billion, $1 billion worth of gift cards sitting around somewhere in somebody's house. They have not taken them and taken advantage. Have you got gift cards at home that you're not using? It's okay. You can confess. You're among friends. It's all right. Here's what I want you to do. Use them. Take them. And that's why you got them, because they are unclaimed. You can't get the stuff that's on them unless you take them and redeem them. That's the way it works. Maybe you've got gift cards. You're just not familiar with the process. I don't know, but I'm trying to help you out today so you use them. Now, here's the point. Did you know that God has unclaimed promises? God has unclaimed promises. And when you read the Bible and you read the Word of God and you read His promises, here's what I want you to know. They're for you. They're for you. When you read the promises of God, they are for you. You can take advantage of them. You can celebrate them. You can accept them. And if you don't take them, they go unclaimed. Why in the world would you do that? Jesus has paid the price. He has blessed us. He has given us a gift. He has given us eternal life. There's a promise He has for us, a promise that God made for us. It's a promise of a relationship with Him. Why don't we take advantage of it? In 2 Corinthians, we read, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. I mean, if you didn't hear anything else today, that's good news, people. You can go home and take advantage of that. Whatever He promises in His word, it applies to you. In the same way that we love our children, God loves us. And He says, you know, if you as a father know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to you? He does. We're His children. He has promises. And He says, you know, there are material promises, but that's not all. That's just some of the promises. There are promises that are internal. There are promises that are spiritual. There are promises that are relational and in ministry. Maybe He's promising you He's going to use you, and here's a chance for you to go out and serve God. I want you to understand that no matter what you're facing, when you pray, you wonder if God hears you, and He does. And so the promises of God are very real. Now, somewhere in the promises of God, you may find Him speaking directly to you, because you're not here by accident. And you're not here by coincidence. He promises that anytime you are tempted by the spiritual enemy, that he will make a way of escape for you. The one who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy you, he'll make a way for you to walk away from that person. God's promise is always for you. It's for you to have a way out every single time. And so the power that he has is greater than the power of the enemy. You don't have to be snared by the enemy. And if you do sin, he promises that he will be faithful to you. He will forgive your sins. He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, no matter what you're facing. He promises that if you're in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. The very same spirit in Jesus Christ lives in you and me today. We've got his resurrection power. He promises that if you cast your cares on him, he will love you and care about you. He will care about the details of your life. He promises that if you're in Christ and you've stepped away from the old life and you haven't tried to do it by your own strength or your own power or your own works, but you've just accepted the grace of God, he promises that he will deliver you. And if you're in Christ, he promises you that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And Jesus has gone ahead of you. And what's he doing? He's preparing a place for you. And when you get to heaven, it's going to be there waiting on you. He promises that he's going to come back. And one day, the trumpet from heaven is going to sound. And the dead in Christ will rise. And we're going to go up and meet him in the air. He promises that. He promises that he will be with us forever in a place where there is no crying and there is no tear. There are no tears and there is no more pain and there is no death. And the old has passed away and the new has begun. A new heaven and a new earth. It's a new time, an eternal life ahead of us. And he promises whatever we need that's in his will that he will provide. And the time to redeem his promises is now. Look at the person next to you and say, it's now. It's right now. This is the time to redeem his promises. There's nothing in this world that's constant that you can hold on to but God. God is always constant. He never changes. He is trustworthy. He keeps his promises. Even when we don't, he does. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you that you are a God who is faithful. You are a God who is trustworthy. You are a God who makes promises, and you are a God who keeps them. Father, help us to take advantage of the promises you have. Help us to claim them. Lord, don't ever let them go unclaimed. Convict our hearts. Call our names. Speak to us in a way that we'll respond, and we will celebrate. We will thank you. We will give you the glory and praise. We will honor you. We will walk closer with you because we have taken advantage of those things that you meant for us all along. And so today, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen.